And welcome to the Brick House. My name is Cyrus Farmer, and you are listening to and watching the Stomp the Tea podcast. And folks, we have a couple of topics we're going to get into tonight. First and foremost, we're going to be talking about Myles Garrett and the potential trade destinations for the future Hall of Fame defensive end currently playing for the Cleveland Browns. Where is he going to land? He's asked for a trade. We're also going to get into everyone's favorite topic. What are you drinking tonight? Those are the two things we're going to cover tonight. But first, I do want to get into one thing that I wanted to talk about before we get into the meat of the show. And folks, you have to forgive me. My notes are kind of all over the place here a little bit. So I'm a little more disorganized and disheveled than I would normally be on a broadcast. But we're both going to do the best we can. You and me. You, the audience, and me, the host. My wife had a birthday this past week, and I don't know how many of you people are married or in a serious relationship, but I can tell you, my wife and I have gotten to the point to where we give gifts to one another, and it's always the thought that counts, but you're never obligated to keep the gift. So, that being said, one of the gifts that I gave my wife was a Wolf countertop convection oven. Folks, I don't know how many of you are familiar with the brand Wolf, W-O-L-F, but it's kind of like a higher end brand. They make appliances. They're comparable to Viking or Miele or any of the other higher-end brands. And they make this great countertop, essentially a toaster oven. So I gave this to my wife, one of her birthday gifts, this past week. And while she loves the idea of the oven itself, she's a little concerned that it's going to take up too much counter space in our home, in our kitchen. So here's the deal. In our house, if you receive a gift you don't like, you're always welcome to take it back. You're always welcome to exchange it for something else. It is yours by definition. You can do whatever you want to with it. One thing we don't want is for you to receive a gift and not use it, not open it. I bought my wife an Alexa years ago, and she took, I think, 2 years to open it. It was very annoying. But she eventually opened it, and, you know, we have Alexa in our home now. Anyway, all that being said, so my wife was concerned about the counter space that this Wolf countertop oven, this toaster oven, it's kind of a fancy toaster oven, was going to take up in our kitchen. And I told her, honey, look, you know, obviously it belongs to you. You can do whatever you want to with it. But I think if you ever use it, you're going to love it. You're going to love having this essentially second oven on the counter that cooks at very precise temperatures. You can do a lot with it. It's a pretty nice toaster oven. So she's still in the process of deciding. Nothing has been decided one way or the other yet. But it brought me to the point. You know, I bought a Vitamix blender last year, and a couple of different accompanying mixer, I guess you would call them, I don't know if you would call them, not accoutrements, but like supplements, you know, accessories, I guess, would be the word I'm looking for. And while it's a great blender, And we have a decent amount of counter space in our home. My wife only wants so many things to actually live on the counter. So we have this island in the kitchen where we store things. Things like a rice cooker, the Cuisinart, mixer. I forget what it's called, the ready-made mixer, whatever brand that is. And we store that on this island that's in the center of the kitchen. But I have to say, it's so much easier for me to use things when they're out and I don't have to put them out. But I think with this Wolf countertop oven, if the wife decides to keep it, it's going to live on one of the counter spaces. But I'm trying to be better about actually taking things out and using them. I mean, what? I'm outdoors on my grill. There's a cover on my grill. I take the cover off. I use the grill. I put the cover back on. It's not a big deal. Oddly enough, the strange thing is, I have an outdoor couch outside on the patio as well. That is covered as well. But because it's an outdoor couch, I almost never uncover it. I sit in one of the chairs instead. So we don't use the outdoor couch very much because I feel like it's too much of a hassle to uncover and recover. But what's the difference between an outdoor couch and the grill that I use on a regular basis in temperate weather? Who knows? So I'm trying to get better. All of this is to say, I'm trying to get better about using what we have, no matter how I have to use it, whether that means taking it out of storage, whether that means uncovering it, whether that means whatever. And if my wife decides to keep this gift that we gave her, great. If she doesn't, that's fine too. But either way, I think I want to start using the Vitamix a lot more. It's a great way to have healthy foods. You can make your own hummus. You can have smoothies. I mean, it's a great, great blender. That's a long way of getting to the fact that I want to start using my Vitamix a little bit more. All right. So, folks, let's get into the show. Let's talk a little bit about Myles Garrett. Now, Myles Garrett asked for a trade from the Cleveland Browns. Everyone knows Myles Garrett is a generational player, future Hall of Famer, former first-round pick overall in the NFL draft by the Cleveland Browns, and he has been tremendous. He's been an unbelievable player. Who wouldn't want Myles Garrett? Which team wouldn't he make better? The answer is none. He would make almost any team that he's with better. But he's actually gotten tired of kind of the hopelessness that seems to follow the Cleveland Browns. And to his credit, he wants to actually get out now and try to salvage some portion of his prime to contribute to a championship effort at some point. Who doesn't want a Super Bowl? Who doesn't want to win something as a team? Individual awards and honors are great, but sooner or later, you want team success. And that's what I think Myles Garrett obviously is looking for. So, tonight, I'm going to give you five options, five trade proposals that I think would work for both teams, work for both Cleveland and the team acquiring Myles Garrett. And I'm going to tell you which ones I think make the most sense of these five, obviously, and we'll go one by one from there. Now, folks, just so you know, if you're looking at Myles Garrett, the five teams that I have in mind, and I'm going to look at my notes here, so bear with me. Five teams I have in mind are the Lions, the Bears, the Eagles, the Commanders, and the Vikings. I think any of those five teams have enough assets to offer the Cleveland Browns that would make the Cleveland Browns worth their while to trade Myles Garrett to any of those five teams. And obviously, those five teams would benefit a great deal from having Myles Garrett on their roster. Let me give you a little bit of information. So if you look at defense in 2024, the five teams I mentioned, the Eagles had the number one total defense. The Commanders were 14th overall. The Vikings were 16th overall. The Lions were 20th overall. And the Bears were 27th overall. Now, you might say, Cy, why are you putting the Bears into this conversation? They played horribly as far as their record is concerned. And they ended up firing their head coach. So why would you include the Bears as a possible destination for Myles Garrett, this future Hall of Fame talent? I'll tell you why. Because the number one pick in the draft last year, Caleb Williams, had an up and down season. But as we all know, the former offensive coordinator of the Detroit Lions, Ben Johnson, is now the head coach of the Bears. And there is a suspicion that Ben Johnson is going to really help steady and develop and grow the talent of Caleb Williams, who is, again, the number one pick in last year's draft. He is not without talent. We'll see if they can actually get some things done with Ben Johnson as the head coach. They have talent in the skill positions, obviously, with Roma Dunze, who is also a rookie. Who knows if they're going to bring back Keenan Allen or not, but they do have the third wide receiver, DJ Moore. One of the two, either DJ or Keenan, is a free agent, I think. So I think it's Keenan who's a free agent. I think DJ is still under contract. I could be wrong about that, but it's one of the two. So you have a lot to work with in Detroit. And that defense in Detroit actually played okay. I mean, the defense in Chicago actually played okay. You have a lot to work with in Chicago. So it could be a potential sleeper destination for someone like Myles Garrett. And the other thing about Chicago is they have $74.5 million in cap space. So they could offer Myles Garrett a brand new contract, rip up his old contract, give him an extension, and let him pay for the top of the market price for the next 4 years or more if they choose to. So that's why Chicago is a potential destination for Myles Garrett. And I think it would be worth not only Myles Garrett's time, but also the Cleveland Browns' time to take offers from Chicago and these other four teams. Now, let me give you some of the information that I have about each of those teams. We talked about the total defense for those teams, right? Now, just briefly, let me give you a little bit of a rundown about what each team has asset-wise and what each team could offer in a trade package in order to acquire Myles Garrett. Now, let's start with Detroit. Detroit has let me start over. The Browns currently have 12 picks in the 2025 draft, all right? Including 5 picks in the top 103 picks. So Cleveland, the Browns, they have a ton of draft capital already. But if they trade Myles Garrett, they're going to want to basically rebuild this whole team, and they want to do it quickly. So they're going to acquire even more draft capital and or players to boot. But it is kind of amazing that Detroit, I assume any trade of Myles Garrett is going to include Detroit giving, boy, I'm all over the place tonight. I assume any trade of Myles Garrett is going to include the Browns giving up some of the 12 picks that they have in the 2025 draft with whomever their trade partner is. Again, the Browns have 5 picks in the top 103. So they're already pretty stocked up as far as draft capital is concerned. That draft capital is going to get richer when they trade Myles Garrett. Now, the Lions, let's start with the Lions. They could offer a 2025 first round draft pick, which is number 28. They could also offer a 2026 second round draft pick. And they could offer DJ Reader, who is a defensive tackle. He becomes a free agent in 2026. He's 31 years old. And to sweeten the pot even more, if I'm Detroit, I throw in Alex Anzalone, the 31-year-old linebacker. He's also a free agent in 2026. You get ahead of those two contracts expiring. You have Jack Campbell, who played well and can replace Alex Anzalone. I think that is a great combination of players and picks for the Cleveland Browns, if you're Detroit, to offer in order to get Myles Garrett. Can you imagine? Who knows? I'm assuming that Aiden Hutchinson, whom I've spoken about on this show before, and I think you all know, I'm a big fan of Aiden Hutchinson. He is so much better than I thought he would be as a pro. And I am all in on Aiden Hutchinson. I hope he comes back the same player he was before he got injured, because he was a tremendous player. Can you imagine Aiden Hutchinson on one side and Myles Garrett on the other in the Honolulu blue and silver at Ford Field? I mean, it's hard to imagine how any team comes in there or anywhere playing against Detroit and gets the ball out in an untimely fashion. The pass rush would be tremendous with those two alone. And Detroit has a good defense. They had a lot of guys hurt this past year. But they have a chance, if they had Myles Garrett with a healthy Aiden Hutchinson, to be an absolute terror of a defense. And they could punch their ticket to the playoffs again this coming season with Myles Garrett on that defense. So we'll see what happens there. We talked about the Bears earlier when I was getting so confused in my verbiage. Let's talk about what they could offer. Now, the Bears, if they wanted to acquire Myles Garrett, they could offer their number one pick in 2025, which is number 10 overall. They could offer their number two pick in 2025, which is number 41 overall. Now, the Bears, they have two picks in the 2025 draft. They have two second-round picks. They have 39 and 41. If I'm the Bears, I offer the first-round pick 10, and I offer the second-round pick number 41. And you also throw in the 2026 first-round pick and TJ Edwards, who I believe is a free agent in 2027, the linebacker for the Bears, former Eagle, by the way. Played solidly, but I think they could afford to part with him. That'd give Cleveland some kind of defensive reciprocity for getting off of Myles Garrett. to me, this trade offer has kind of the best value of picks and players to a degree. That number 10 pick overall is really going to help Cleveland if they choose to let it help. I mean, what Cleveland, again, the number of picks they have are just ridiculous. And they could get better in a hurry and even get a quarterback if they choose to with that kind of trade offer from the Bears. And again, the Bears with 74 plus million in cap space could rip up Miles' contract tomorrow and give him a new deal that would pay him probably around $30 million a year. And they would be just fine as far as the cap is concerned. Let's go to the Commanders. The Commanders, they could offer the Browns their 2025 first round draft pick. That's number 29. Their third round draft pick, that's number 79. They could offer their first round draft pick in 2026 and their third round draft pick in 2026. And just for kicks, they could throw in Brian Robinson Jr. I believe Nick Chubb, who I'm assuming the Browns are going to re-sign, is a free agent this offseason. But it never hurts to have another back in there. Can kind of split time with Nick Chubb. Nick Chubb carries so much of the load for the Browns that he needs a back or two to help spell him throughout the course of a long season. And Brian Robinson Jr. Could do that for the Browns if he got traded there. So I think that's actually not a bad offer either. I mean, it's really not. The Commanders, similar to the Bears, have a ton of money. They are $79.5 million in cap space this offseason. They could rip up Miles' contract today and offer him a brand new one tomorrow with no problem. And you have an up-and-coming team. You have a dynamic young quarterback, a defense that's already pretty good, actually very good. I think there's no shortage of confidence. Regardless of how well the Eagles played, there is no shortage of confidence in Washington about the future prospects of their team and their team's fortunes moving forward. So, if you're Myles Garrett, that could be a very, very attractive landing place. The nation's capital and a dynamic young quarterback, a team that made it to the NFC Championship last year. It could be a lot of fun for Myles Garrett in Washington. All right. So the next trade offer that I have to propose is the Vikings. Why do I put the Vikings in this equation? Well, I'll tell you why. If you're thinking outside of the box, and you would have to be if you're the Minnesota Vikings, getting a player of Myles Garrett's acumen would possibly be the equivalent of Green Bay getting Reggie White from the Eagles when he was in his prime and making the difference for Brett Favre and that whole franchise as they went on to win the Super Bowl the following year. If you put Myles Garrett in purple with the Minnesota Vikings defense and Brian Flores coordinating that defense, I can't imagine what a nightmare that Minnesota defense could be for the following season and for years to come. That defense is very good, the Minnesota Vikings. Now, they kind of went up and down as far as the stats were concerned, but generally speaking, they could touch the quarterback. They played well. They tackled pretty well. And it's a kind of defense that literally can take any quarterback out of their rhythm. So if you're Minnesota, I definitely think outside of the box here and try to get Myles Garrett, especially while you have Brian Flores as your defensive coordinator. Let me tell you the trade package that I have constructed for the Vikings to offer the Cleveland Browns for Myles Garrett. If you're the Vikings, you can offer your first round pick, which is the number 24 overall here in 2025. You can also offer 2026, next year's first, fifth, and 2 7th round draft picks. So you would be offering a total of 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 draft picks for Myles Garrett. And additionally, I know it sounds crazy, but you have Kevin O'Connell as your coach. You know what Sam Darnold did for you last year? Forget about the last 2 or 3 games that he played. You throw in J.J. McCarthy to the Browns for Myles Garrett with those 5 picks. Folks, I think that might be a done deal if the Browns like J.J. at all. Now, he's a Michigan man. He got to play in Ohio. But to me, this is the most out-of-the-box, most risk-reward trade offer for both teams that could actually work. If you're Minnesota, you have to forget about how Darnold played in Week 18 against Detroit. You have to forget about how Darnold played in the first round of the playoffs against the Rams. If you're Minnesota, you should re-sign Sam Darnold because you know what you have with him when he's great and kind of build around his weaknesses that you saw those last 2 or 3 weeks of the season. You don't know what you have with J.J. McCarthy. Let's be fair. But he is a trade asset and you could actually turn him into Myles Garrett, joining your team with Brian Flores as your defensive coordinator. I'm telling you, it's outside of the box, but it could pay tremendous dividends. Minnesota, if you're listening, think about this. Nothing against J.J. McCarthy. I have no idea if he's going to be good, bad, or indifferent, right? But I do know what Sam Darnold did for the vast majority of the 2024 season. And yes, I was completely underwhelmed by his performance against Detroit in Week 18 and by his performance against the Rams in the first round of the playoffs. But that being said, a body of work, to me, has more value than a couple of games at the end of the season. Most important time of the year, but end of the season nonetheless. And with Kevin O'Connell as coach, I believe he can actually find a way to get Darnold around whatever shortcomings he displayed in those last 2 games of the season. So, Minnesota, think about that. You have a chance to get Myles Garrett. I would run, not walk, to go get him. And you have the capital to do that if you consider throwing J.J. McCarthy into the mix. That's even if the Browns are interested in J.J. McCarthy. So I throw that codicil in there. Now, the last team, obviously, that I want to talk about in this trade proposal is, obviously, the Philadelphia Eagles. I'm sorry, the world champion Philadelphia Eagles. Super Bowl champion Philadelphia Eagles. So, a lot of talk here in Philadelphia. We've been talking about getting Myles Garrett for several weeks now. And a lot of the talk on talk radio has been focused on, well, would you give up X player to get Myles Garrett? The most popular name that's been proposed in talk radio is Nolan Smith, who was the second-year player from Georgia, late first-round draft pick a couple of years ago, who's really coming to his own this past season. The talk on talk radio, the topic is, would you trade Nolan Smith and picks for Myles Garrett? And the answer to that question is absolutely not. There's no reason to trade Nolan Smith for Myles Garrett. Nolan Smith and picks for Myles Garrett. What you want is you want Myles Garrett on one side and Nolan Smith on the other side, with Jalen Carter in the middle. That's the real problem. You don't want to swap Nolan Smith for Myles Garrett. You want to add Myles Garrett to Nolan Smith and Jalen Carter. So, to me, that's a non-starter. Forget that trade offer. It's not a deal. I will give you my version of what the Philadelphia Eagles should offer the Cleveland Browns for Myles Garrett's services. And we'll see what you think about it. If you're the Eagles, this is what you can offer. You should offer your 2025 first-round pick. For better or worse, it's the 32nd pick in the first round. It's the last pick in the first round. That's what happens when you win the Super Bowl. I would also offer the 5th round pick. That's number 166 overall. Now, the Eagles have 3 5th round picks in 2025. They have numbers 162, 166, and 169. So I would offer the 1st round pick, which is 32 overall, the 5th round pick, which is 166, a 2026 2nd round pick, and Bryce Huff, whether you want him or not, Cleveland, he could help you. He did nothing for the Philadelphia Eagles, but he did have a decent year for the Jets a year and a half ago, 2 years ago. And I would also throw in either Kenny Pickett, who is under contract, or, to me, the more value, Tanner McKee, who I think has a chance to be, how would I describe Tanner McKee? I think he might be a Matt Hasselbeck. He could be an Andy Dalton. He could be a guy who starts for your franchise, who has success at the pro level, who may not be your franchise quarterback to get you to the Super Bowl, but he can be a franchise quarterback who can actually make you relevant and get you to the playoffs consistently. Who knows how good Tanner McKee could be, but I think he can get you to the playoffs consistently given the operation, given the opportunity, especially with Kevin Stefanski there. I like this trade. I like this trade package. Again, 2025 from the Eagles, 2025 round 1 draft pick, round 5 draft pick, 2026 round 2 draft pick, and Bryce Huff and Kenny Pickett, or Tanner McKee. Take your pick if you're Cleveland. That's a fair trade as far as I'm concerned. Cleveland may find their quarterback of the present in either one of those two, and they'll certainly get value out of some of those draft picks. And who knows? Let's be honest. You might get something out of Bryce Huff, which we were able to get nothing out of him. So if we toss him in the trade, you should take him. I mean, he's not playing for free, but if you're Cleveland, he might be worth taking on. Now, the Eagles only have about $13.5 million in cash base. So, you know, they'd have to rework some things if they wanted to offer Miles a new contract. But I'm not concerned about that. Howie Roseman will do what he needs to do to get that situation solved and settled. It's really more about having Miles join an already fantastic defense, which I think it's been stated in the press that Miles has said he wouldn't mind playing for the Eagles. It'll be fascinating to see what happens with Myles Garrett. I think this is, to me, this is what the Luka Doncic trade should have been for the Dallas Mavericks. If, you know, the fans of the Dallas Mavericks weren't going to show up at that arena with pitchforks and torches because there's a bidding war for Luka Doncic. Who knew they were that attached to Luka? I mean, I should have known that, but I didn't. But this is what the trade for Luka Doncic should have been. I mean, you can get tremendous value from trading Myles Garrett. And I think Cleveland Browns will get tremendous value. It's just a matter of who they choose to deal with. But those are my options. And to me, I think those are the best five options for trading Miles. Now, obviously, the specifics of the package will be different than what I've laid out, but those give you the broad strokes of what could be possible. And I can't wait to see what happens. If he ends up an Eagle, that would be unbelievable. But if he doesn't, I think we'll be fine. I think we'll be okay either way, we being the Eagles. Now, folks, as always, I'd like to remind you to tell your friends, tell your enemies, tell them all about the Stomp the Tea podcast. This is a show that is for you. It is here for you. We are providing you content each and every week that you can't get anywhere else. So definitely let people know that you enjoy this. Definitely spread the word. We are on all the socials, TikTok, Instagram, YouTube. We have it all. And obviously, we also have the audio versions on Spotify and Apple Music as well. So don't forget to subscribe. Don't forget to like. Now, folks, I have to tell you, this is my favorite part of every episode. Why? Because I can bring you information that you will be challenged to find anywhere else. But in order for me to bring you that information, I have to ask you a question. What are you drinking tonight? Well, folks, I can tell you what I'm drinking. And that is the Old Emmer Cask Strength. Folks, I'm going to tell you a little bit about this product, what I can, and then we'll get into a discussion about what I think about the product. So, the Old Emmer Cask Strength, it's a wheated bourbon, right? Just so you know. The mash bill has been hard to find. There's been a lot of information that's been hard to find about Old Emmer Cask Strength, but I can tell you, I've been drinking this probably for at least 2 years, maybe three. So let me give you some information. It is bottled by the Kentucky Bottling Company. And it says it's distilled in Kentucky, but they don't tell you who it's distilled by. The rumor is, it's distilled by IJW, that mysterious conglomerate behemoth distillery that essentially is the equivalent of MGP, Kentucky style. But who knows? We don't know that. I don't know that for a fact. I'm just telling you what I've read. It's at least 4 years old in age, so that's good. Now, supposedly, the Kentucky Bottling Company, the people who produce this Old Emmer cask strength, supposedly it has closed. And they were acquired, allegedly, by IJW a couple years ago. And now they are out of business. If you believe what you, if you read what you believe on the internet. I tried to go to the website for Kentucky Bottling Company and it is no longer in existence. Read a couple Reddit threads and a couple things on Google, and apparently they are out of business. So who knows? But I will tell you this. This particular bottle, it is, I got this for $45 at Total Wine and More. This is 61.02 ABV. So that makes it around just over 122 proof. Folks, it's very drinkable. It has a supple mouthfeel. The flavor profile, while uncomplicated, is very savory in a good way. Again, it drinks so much smoother than the actual proof. Yet another sign of great, great distillery craftsmanship, which is what you're looking for. I have to tell you, I was unaware of Old Emmer and its potential closing, if what I've read is true. I just read that today while I was doing research for this show. I was unaware of that. But if it's true that they're closing, and if it's true that they're already closed, they're out of business, I'm going to stock up on Old Emmer cask strength. It's $45. I got it for $45 a bottle, guys. I mean, I think it normally sells for $50 a bottle. I got it for $45. It was on sale a couple of days ago. This was my latest bottle. I probably had like four or five bottles of this. It's very drinkable, very smooth, but I'm going to stock up. If they're out of business, I'm going to stock up. I'm going to probably buy like five or six bottles. Simply because I like it so much. It is really, really drinkable. And this 61 ABV, I think at the Total Wine that I go to most often has the 61, and they also have a 59 ABV, 59 and change. So I'll probably go back and buy like two or three more bottles just in case they sell out, never to return again. But Old Emmer cask strength, it is completely, completely worth buying, especially if they're going out of business. Buy it while you can, because if they're done, it's going to be hard to find. And I promise you, you will not be disappointed. Very, very drinkable. All right, folks, that's the show for tonight. Folks, I'm going to try, you know, as we approach spring, if February is ending and we're moving towards March and the weather has gotten a little more temperate, but I'm hoping to get back out on the golf course again soon. I can't wait to tell you all about it when that happens, but when it does, you'll be the first to know. Trust me, I promise. Anyway, my name is Cyrus Farmer. This is the Stomp the Tea podcast. Thank you for listening. Thank you for watching. And as always, we will see you on the first tee.